speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
Tonight, I want us to look at a lesson in regard to fellowship. And as we enter into the lesson tonight, a lot of times when we think with regard to fellowship, we think about a meal. And indeed, that is a form of fellowship where that we are blessed with an opportunity that we might be able to gather together as God's people, as we oftentimes do here in our church annex, and to consume a meal with one another. And that is indeed a valid way in which we can and should use the term fellowship. But at the same time, tonight I want us to understand that there is a greater way in which God uses this, as it would signify a relationship with Him. But also there are other ways in which God employs this word fellowship for our understanding. We live in a world today where that words oftentimes will take on different meanings than what they began with. Take into consideration the word gay. Back several years ago, whenever I was just a young boy, I remember that people would go around who were today what we would call straight, and they would say that they were gay. And nobody thought that they were homosexuals, but rather what people realized as they expressed themselves as being gay is that they were happy. They were very pleased with where they were in life. They were motivated and encouraged with various things that was going on. However, you and I know that today if somebody were to, in a very public way, stand out and say that they're gay, immediately it would be assumed that they are part of the homosexual community. And as we think with regard to that term, there are many other terms that we could also present for our consideration that meant one thing and now today it means something else. And why is that? It is because the English language is always evolving. It is always going through different changes. And yet at the same time, whenever we read and study from the Bible does not do that. Whenever God employs a term, what it meant then also means unto this very day. Whenever we think with regard to the Greek language by which it is given, it is Koine Greek. Koine meaning common. And I'm going to use that term as we go through the lesson tonight as it would relate to fellowship. But it means that it is a common language that was recognized in that day. And it today is what we would call a dead language. And what I mean by that is that it is still around to the fact that we're able to go and to read and to study from it. It's not dead in that sense, but what I mean by that is that it's no longer used on a common basis to where that it can evolve. Therefore, that helps us to understand that the terms that are given therein, exactly the way in which God spoke to the people of that age, what it meant then is what it means today. This morning we talked about baptism, baptizo. And that word baptism, baptizo, as it was given then, means the same today. And I hope that we were able to explain all of that as we were going through the lesson. That tonight, David has led us in a song. Marvelous grace, kurios is the Greek term there. And grace means unmerited favor. It meant that then, and it still means the same today. And what that means is that we cannot do anything to earn our salvation, but rather it is something that God gives us through Jesus Christ our Lord. In that, though, we understand that it's not grace only. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and verse 9 helps us to understand that we are saved through grace by way of faith. And faith is our part, and faith is an obedient faith. Going back to what we said this morning, obedience to Christ in baptism. So, again, I bring all those things out to help us to understand that as we look to fellowship, the word that God gives us from the original language, as well as the ways in which God explains this, uses this term continually throughout the New Testament Scripture, what it meant then, it continues to mean today. The Greek word for fellowship is koineia. And koineia literally means to have things in common. It also carries with it a joint participation. At the same time, what we need to understand is that it, in like figure, in its biggest sense, as I would look at this term, means a relationship. And oftentimes, when we speak with people who are religious in nature, they will say that we are brethren. And I touched on that in part this morning. And in that, what they are meaning whenever they say something like that is that they believe that they have a relationship with our God, and then based out of what it is that they feel or they believe in regard to their stated fact, as they would see it, a relationship with God, then also they feel as if we are in fellowship with them, that we also are their brothers and sisters in Christ. However, the Bible identifies that in order for us to have a fellowship with one another, in order for mankind to have a fellowship with others, we must have fellowship with our God. And I want to draw our attention to what is taught in 1 John chapter 1, literally beginning in verse 1, and John, by way of revelation, is identifying in regard to the Logos. That's the original language, and Logos literally means word. And as we think with regard to the Word, he's speaking explicitly in this context about Jesus. And as he is writing, he is wanting these individuals in this general epistle to realize is that these individuals were speaking first-handed about the Logos, about Jesus. Why so? Because he identifies that they had saw him. They'd seen him with their own eyes. They heard him speak. They were able to touch him. They were able to be in his company. And therefore, as he is speaking, I believe that it is also important for me to point out is that I believe that in part what John is doing is he is refuting a doctrine that was coming about at that time called Gnosticism. Gnosticism is from the Greek term gnoskos. And in that, Gnosticism is those individuals who came about sometime in the first century who said that they were the all-knowing ones. And they spoke against Christians, against Christianity, and they claimed to have a relationship with God. And in speaking to Christians, they were saying, you do not have a relationship with God. And whenever John says this Logos, the word Jesus, we have seen him, we have heard him, we have touched him, don't take what the Gnostics are saying, you take what we're saying to be true. And he also in this context identifies then is that they don't have a relationship with God. They do not have fellowship with God, but rather we do. And that's what he teaches us in a very direct manner in verse 3 by saying, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. Whenever he identifies, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, he is saying those things that we have in common, they are with God. He is saying this relationship that we are able to recognize amongst us. It did not originate with us, but rather it is a result of the fact that we are connected with our Heavenly Father. But then in like figure, he goes on to identify is that in order to have a relationship with the Father, one must also then have a relationship with the Son. They go hand in hand. And according to what we also learn then, as we connect this with what the Apostle Paul teaches us from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, we are called into fellowship through the Son of Jesus Christ, His Son. To be called, friends, we need to understand that this calling is universal. God wants all mankind to be saved, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And in this, because God wants everyone to be saved, hence He is constantly reaching out and calling mankind unto salvation and into a relationship with Him. Yet at the same time, I want us to understand that this calling is not in any sense like what we find introduced through the denominational realm, more specific to Calvinism. Calvinists believe that people are called to God via the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit enlightens these individuals in reaching out to them, and then as a result of that, they are invited to this relationship with God, and they can't reject it, they must embrace it, and if they do not, then in reality, as they would say it, they were never called. Yet at the same time, what the Bible does teach us, contrary to this, is that God extends the opportunity for fellowship to everyone. And the way in which it is extended to everyone, again, is in Christ, but it is extended to mankind. It is presented to mankind through the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14 exclaims this. We are able to enter into a relationship with God, enter into fellowship through Christ, but that calling comes by hearing the gospel wherein that we are able to develop faith. So in all, what we see at this point is that our fellowship, if indeed we have a relationship with the Father, in like figure we have a relationship with the Son. And the significance of all of this then also helps us to see that as New Testament Christians, according to what the Apostle Paul wrote and taught those at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 1, is that we are also then in fellowship with the Spirit. Well, what is it that God is wanting us to understand that as we enter into fellowship with Him through Christ, and as a result of this we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? It signifies, it teaches us that we have a relationship with all who comprise or make up the Godhead. We are able, because of our fellowship with our Heavenly Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to be identified as children of God. As children of God, we are also then able to be identified as sons or daughters of God, dependent upon our gender. And I must go on to say is that gender is appointed by God at the point of conception. And in this, we are either classified in our relationship with God as Christians as a son of God or as a daughter of God. But friends, also, in an ultimate manner, God wants us to understand that as we enter into fellowship with Him, and as we continue to maintain this fellowship with Him, hence we are also then, as children of God, heirs of God through Jesus Christ. Well, what does all of that mean? Friends, it means that not only are we blessed, and we are of all men most blessed to be able to be in a relationship with God in the here and now. What I mean by that is while we live here in this world, what a blessing it is to be able to be counted as a child of God. But friends, to be an heir of God means is that our hope doesn't rest here. Rather, our hope is in Jesus Christ, wherein that someday, as a result of our fellowship and relationship with God, we will be able to dwell eternally in heaven with Him someday. Well, in regard to this fellowship then, Christian fellowship is notable amongst the brethren. God wants us also then to realize is that as Christians, we cannot fellowship with the demons of darkness. Well, what does that mean? It means that we cannot have fellowship with Satan in a very direct manner, nor can we, should we ever desire to be in fellowship with his cohorts, the demons who followed him in departure from God, in rebellion against God. And not only are we speaking with reference to those in the spiritual realm, if you would, but friends, whenever God speaks with reference to the fact that we are not to have fellowship with the demons of darkness, I believe that He also is applying that across the board where that we must not pursue a relationship or fellowship with individuals who do not have a relationship with our God. Light can have no fellowship with darkness. Why? Because as light, we are to expose the darkness. And the darkness does not like that. In fact, in that, oftentimes, whenever we call people out for the sin that they are committing, how does that go for us? It doesn't go very well because they oftentimes will become very disgruntled over that and they will lash out at us. And in that, it is one way in which God is saying you cannot, as light, have fellowship with those who are in darkness. But friends, also, there's another angle of this in which God, I believe, wants me to express tonight or anyone who would teach on this. And that is that as children of God, if we try to live in fellowship with those who do not have fellowship with God, then we will be influenced oftentimes by their worldliness, by their ungodliness, by Satan's effect upon their life. And as a result of that influence, we can easily be drawn away from God. And I realize is that as we live in the world, we cannot totally excommunicate the world. We cannot live completely separated from the world. Why? Because we are also called to be evangelistic. We've been talking about this a good deal on Sunday mornings in our Bible study class. And in that, God wants us to be aware that there are so many, in fact, a majority in the world who are lost. And therefore, we must continually reach out to these individuals. And somebody says, well, Kevin, in one sense, you're saying that we cannot fellowship with them, but yet at the same time, does it not sound like you're also saying that we must fellowship with them? Friends, I'm going to use an analogy. I'm going to use some phrase here that I believe to be true from a biblical stance. Whenever we look at regard to our life in this world and the responsibilities that are laid upon us in order to reach out to the people in the world who do not have a relationship with God, I believe that we are correct in saying we can and we must have a left-hand fellowship with those who are in the world. And by that I mean is that we're not bidding them Godspeed. We're not trying to partake in the ways of which they live that would be contrary to the will of God. We're staying connected with these people for the sake that we need some sort of a relationship with them in order for us to influence them and to win them to Jesus Christ. And then there's this other angle of fellowship that is the right hand of fellowship. And it is the true fellowship wherein that we are in a relationship with God, and based out of our relationship with God, also now we have a relationship with one another. As a result of our fellowship in the church, we are able to enjoy a universal fellowship with those within the brotherhood. And what I mean by those within the brotherhood, I mean those who are members of the Lord's church. And whenever I say with reference to those who are of the Lord's church, I want us to be very clear on this, is that we're speaking with those about those who are members of the churches of Christ. Yet at the same time, let me go on to say, is that there are reports in other countries where that the church is not necessarily called the Church of Christ. We have brethren who serve as missionaries in Africa and other remote places where that there are members of the church who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and they comply with New Testament Christianity. They're applying the Scripture as it is to be applied, and whenever our brethren come in contact with them, initially anyway, they call themselves people of the way, or they call themselves the church, and they call themselves the Church of God, which are biblical names so long as they are complying with the doctrine of Christ. Whenever I speak with reference to those of the brotherhood and having a universal fellowship, what a blessing it is to know that if we go to New Zealand, if we go to Australia, if we go to Africa, if we go to anywhere universally and we come across members of the Lord's church, those who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin and who are doing all that is within their power to do to live according to New Testament Christianity, members of the churches of Christ, friends, we are in fellowship with them. And many of us have been blessed to be able to travel abroad. Many of us have been able to travel even here nationwide and to visit various congregations. Whenever Dawn and I were in Savannah this past Wednesday night, we attended a congregation over outside of on the outer skirts of Savannah. And what a blessing it was whenever we walked in to know that the truth was being taught and that we were in fellowship with those brothers and sisters in Christ. And many here have been able to experience that same thing. Whenever we were there, there was an individual who spoke up in regard to the class. He was also a visitor, we learned after the fact, and come to find out, he was a graduate of the school who graduated long before I did. And I thought to myself, well, what he was saying was a very deep-seated comment. And I told Dawn afterwards, I was going to go up after the class and say, I really appreciate your comment. And then I saw who it was, and I still really appreciated his comment. But it helped me to understand maybe more so why he came up with that comment in a very deep manner, because he's one who studies the Scripture in a very depth manner. And what a blessing it is to know that universally we have fellowship with those of like precious faith. And in this, friends, also, I believe that on a local sense, we're able to enjoy, we're able to appreciate the fellowship that we have as a congregation. While we do enjoy opportunities to be able to be away, everyone needs time off from time to time. Amen. And while we're away, I'm going to say this, and I'm not saying it for the sake of saying it for the lesson tonight. I would never do that. But I'm going to say it because it's a true fact. Dawn and I miss you. We miss being able to see your smiling faces. So you ought to smile all the time. We miss being able to be in your presence and to be able to engage in conversation. I miss being able to go around and to shake your hands as I seek to do and others also seek to do. It shows that we have a true close-knit relationship with one another. And the basis for our relationship is not something that you and I initiated within ourselves, but rather it is brought forth because of the relationship that we have first and foremost with our God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, when we think with regard to fellowship, fellowship is most important. And this fellowship is vital to our Creator. How is it that we fellowship? Well, there is a mutual involvement in spreading the gospel of our Lord and Savior. I said a few minutes ago, in regard to this Greek word koinonia, it means that we have a like-mindedness. It can also be employed and used according to the way in which we do whenever we have fellowship meals. And yet at the same time, it's not so much speaking with reference to the meal, but that which we engage in as we are together in conversation and such. But then in like figure, the way in which the Apostle Paul employs this in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 8, is that we are able from time to time to share mutually in fellowship, in joint participation, because that is a definition of the term, in spreading the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Those at Philippi, the Apostle Paul was very grateful for them because of the fellowship, because they were participating jointly in his efforts, not only at Philippi, but elsewhere in his taking the gospel into the lost and dying world of that age. Somebody says, well, Kevin, how were they mutually participating? Well, some of them probably from time to time went along with him, meaning that they physically went with him, and we see that various times. But more times than not, Paul had the same company going with him from place to place. And the ways in which those at Philippi and Macedonia and others were able to participate with him, to be in fellowship with him in spreading the gospel, is the fact that they financially helped to support him as he was going abroad. As a congregation, we have a large number that we support. We have a large number who go overseas and they are spreading the gospel of Christ. And because we support them individually as well as collectively as a congregation, we are in fellowship with them. We are participants with them in spreading the gospel universally to the areas of which they are going. We are also in fellowship with those that we support going through the schools of preaching at Southeast, as well as with Memphis School of Preaching, are two of the schools which we participate, that we fellowship with in helping to train these men and also their families to go out and to work full-time with congregations whenever they graduate from the schools of preaching or from our brotherhood schools or colleges. In regard to these matters, then, in like figure, this congregation is helping here locally, and the fact that you support me and my family, you support myself and Dawn in the works that we do here. And therefore, as tomorrow I'm planning to go over to Murfreesboro and visit with Sister Geneva, as we've learned today, is that she's over in the hospital. And as I am going, if you're able to go yourself, go. But as I'm going over, because of the fact that you helped to support me, you are also going. And I make that well known whenever I'm with people, is that we are here as a congregation to pray for you, to extend our love for you, and to let you know that if you need anything, please call on us. Whether we're visiting, whether we're doing Bible studies, and in fact, I have a new Bible study we're going to begin this coming Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to that. And as a result of you helping to support me and Dawn financially from this congregation, you are also participating with that. We're in fellowship with one another and helping to spread the gospel. But friends, also, this same terminology is used time and again, and the concepts of it as we look to assisting people with their heavy financial burdens. From time to time, in the community of which we live, we will help various individuals whenever there are true justified needs. And we've done that as a congregation, I know for the last eight and a half plus years during the time in which we've been here, and I know also, as has been shared with me by the eldership of old, is that it's something that this congregation has done continually throughout the course of its existence here in Warren County. But above what we're able to do here in the community, friends, that which I take great pride in, that which brings me greatest pleasure, is whenever we're able to participate with one another to help with our brothers and sisters who are in need. From time to time, our brothers and sisters fall on hard times. And in that, we do not want that for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? But at the same time, whenever it does happen, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as a family of God, what a blessing it is to know that from a financial standpoint, we can come together collectively out of the contribution, or we can come together collectively out of special contributions to assist those who are in need. And not only is this good for us to be able to do that, what is it that the Scripture says? It's more blessed to give than to receive, or paraphrased. At the same time, it is a blessing to those individuals, because oftentimes, whenever people are dealing especially with financial burdens, those burdens can prove too heavy for them and can crush them, not only from where they stand in life, but friends, oftentimes people, whenever they're crushed to that end, will even walk away from our God. You see, we are in fellowship with one another because of our fellowship with God, being able to extend genuine comfort to one another at all times. And it even goes beyond being able to assist one another from a financial perspective. It goes to the area that whenever a brother or sister is dealing with a situation in their life, is that as a congregation we reach out, we fellowship with each other, we participate in helping to cheer one another up. Often I'm on the end of the bed where I'm praying with people, and trying to visit with people. And a week and a half ago, being in the hospital here, many were able to come by and visit. I realize not everyone's able to do that. Others text, others called, cards, and just goes on and on. The ways in which this congregation reached out to me and to Dawn personally through prayer to let us to know that you were loving, that you love us and that you care for us, and that you were wanting us to do well. And after I've been recovering, Carl asked me as we were coming back in tonight, he says, "So are you well?" And I almost made a mistake. I said, "Yes." And I'm like, "No, he'll pick on me." Not quite, Carl. In that, to know that we're here with and for one another through thick and thin, what a blessing that is, correct? And that is a part of our fellowship that we share with each other to bring comfort. And that's the context of Paul's usage from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through verse 27. And again, it's the concept that's under consideration versus the term itself. In regard to this matter, then, in like figure, hence God vows not to forget those who these works and labors of love. It's important for us to realize is that God's not going to literally forget anything, if you would, that we do. Yet at the same time, whenever we have sinned against God and we are covered in the blood of Christ, in that sense, it is forgotten. And what I mean by that is that God does not hold us accountable for our sin whenever He forgets it in that way. But I find it interesting in regard to the context of Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, chapter 6 and verse 10, is that our labors of love, our works in fellowship, whether we are participating in helping to spread the gospel, or if we're participating in helping to comfort a brother or sister who's fallen to trials in life, or if we're helping to lift the burden from a financial situation that they're in, God says, "I will not forget that." And somebody says, "Well, what's the significance of God saying that I will not forget that?" I want to draw our attention to what is taught in the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 36 and verse 37, and then again connecting it to chapter 11, verses 27 through verse 30. And in this context, it is revealed that those who were working from a benevolent standpoint, those who were constantly working to bring good to those with whom they were in fellowship with, the Bible identifies as that God blessed these individuals in the first century. And that's only a part, if you'll read and study the context of Acts, what I presented here. But friends, as we find is that God blessed those individuals. We are in fellowship with them, even though that they've passed on. And the reason that I say that we're in fellowship with them is because we're doing what they did. And as long as we continue to do as they did, then we will maintain fellowship with God and with them. And as a result of that, God will reward our works of fellowship in Jesus Christ our Lord. How will God do that? In one sense, God will do that in the here and now. Meaning is that from time to time, a brother or sister may come up and thank us for something that we have done in trying to help them along life's journey. But in like figure, God will open up doors of opportunities for us to be able to do more in fellowship and to the glory of His name. But God will also open up doors through our fellowship and through our outreach to be able to bring others to Christ before it is eternally too late. Let me point this out. In an ultimate manner, God will reward our fellowship in Christ, our works of fellowship in Christ, to be able to stand before Him as His faithful children and to enter into heaven's eternal reward. Tonight I ask, are you in fellowship with God? Koinonia, do you have a commonness of mind as what God expects us to have? Is your mind centered in and around God or around the world? If it's around the world, you do not have fellowship with God. It may be that your mind is around God, but at the same time, you've not done as God commands us to do in order to become a Christian. And therefore, you must bring your life in line with where your mind is. And you say, Kevin, what do you mean by that? You need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. If you're an erring brother or sister in Christ who has been baptized, that is, and still at the same time you've journeyed away from God, you need to realign your life with God. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight, we invite you with His call.